when do you want to turn off the fan?
Okay, we are 1 minute.
Thank you, 1 minute.
Okay, 1 minute.
Oh boy.
yourself.
Eight, nine, seven, six, five, four, three, two,
welcome all of you to our Lord's Day service, this beautiful Easter day that the Lord has given to us. We're so delighted that you are here, and we hope that the service is a blessing to you. We want to welcome back Allie Babich and Cindy Steele, and you heard from Hal Halverson, and of course our music director, Colin Welford. We welcome you all today as we join together to worship the Lord.
This
For the week is found in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. We hope that you'll join us as we sing, Jesus Christ is risen today. To that time of worship when we bring our praise reports and our prayer concerns. We're so delighted that we can give voice to hope being born anew. We want to remember in our prayers today our Capitol Police officers who are suffering another loss of a colleague. We want to remember in our prayers Janice, whose daughter, Mary, 24 years old, died this week. And we want to continue to remember Greg and Marguerite, Tammy, Julanne, Ray, Kevin, Dean, Jack, Jaden, and Madeline. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we are so grateful that death did not have the final say. We're so grateful for Jesus. We are so grateful for hope born anew. And in that hope, we raise up to you the Capitol Police Force as they mourn another death. We ask that you would give to those young men and women your grace and your peace. We hold before you Janice, whose daughter Mary died. We cannot fathom her loss. We ask that you would surround Janice with your gentle presence, that you would continue to sustain Greg and Marguerite, Tammy, Jule Ann, Ray, Kevin, Dean, Jack, Jaden, and Madeline. We ask that you would keep us in everlasting fellowship with those of our family and community who, since last Easter Day, have entered into the joy of their Lord. Lois Gibson, Nancy Davis, Michael Welford, Bill May, Wolfram Flegel, Karsten Topelman, Spencer Gould, and Janice's daughter Mary. We are grateful for the gift of their lives among us and our connections with them, which will never die. Help us to remember the great cloud of witnesses surrounding us today in the church triumphant. For it is in your name that we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Testament lesson is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church. Now I should remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which you also are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received from Christ, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared first to Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to someone untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the very least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. And our gospel lesson is taken from the book of Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the next day, of the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our reflection is written by Pastor Dan Olson. Jesus was no stranger to darkness. It was likely in the dark of night that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. In the stealth of shadows, Joseph and Mary scurried to Egypt to protect the infant Jesus. It was in gloom that Jesus experienced the death of his cousin, John the Baptist. It was in grief Jesus received news of the death of his friend Lazarus. What could possibly be more bleak than the inexorable journey to Jerusalem that would end at the hill of death? We too journey through life with the shades pulled down around us, blocking light from our lives. What are we to do when our lives go off the rails? Yes, life possesses its own outer darkness, but God will have none of it. Darkness is anathema to our Lord. As Psalm 139 states, "Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you." This is what Easter is all about. By the power of God Almighty, the light of the world, Jesus our Lord has been raised from the dead. The dank, dark grave could not hold him. The stone at the grave became as light as a feather to our powerful God. By this astounding miracle of the resurrection of Jesus, all things have been made new. By faith and our baptism into Jesus' conquered death, we have been forgiven and given the promise of eternal life and eternal light illuminating our path. Amen.
shall stand at the Lord's upon the earth, upon the earth. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day, the latter day upon. Destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Yet in my flesh shall I see God.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The first account that we have written about the resurrection was not the Gospel of Mark. It was not about the tomb. It was not about the women coming to the gravesite. The very first recording of the gospel, of that wonderful message that Jesus rose, was the gospel according to Paul, only we don't call it that. We call it Paul's letters. He was the first one to write a gospel account, and he wasn't talking about the tomb. He didn't talk about the garden or where they laid Jesus. He talked about encounters with the risen Christ. And he spoke about how Jesus met with 500 people and then met with him as one who was untimely born. Now, do you remember the story of Paul? When he had heard this message that the person named Jesus was risen from death, he was having none of it. In fact, he thought it was a very dangerous teaching because he was a zealot. He was religiously plugged in, and he began to use his religion as a weapon. And one time he was listening to the great evangelist Stephen give an impassioned sermon about Jesus. And after the sermon, the crowd was so riled up, they took up stones to kill this man. And what did Paul do? He took their coats so that they'd have a better aim when they destroyed Stephen's life. After that seminal event, he received permission to find anyone professing Christ, to round them up and to jail them. He was a terrorist, and he used it in the name of his religion. And so one day, God had had enough, and Paul was on another errand of terror, and he was knocked right off his horse, and a blinding light shone upon him, and Jesus identified himself to Paul. And Paul, from that day forward, was a follower of Jesus. Now, what did that mean? That didn't mean that he just stopped being a terrible person. It meant he was radically changed. This man who was an elitist, this man who had a racial identity that he wrapped himself in and thought everybody else was inferior, this man wrote, "In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither male nor female, there is neither slave nor free, but everyone is one in Christ." That was radical for those days. In fact, one time he came upon a runaway slave named Onesimus. And through his winsome proclamation, he converted Onesimus and sent him back to his owner with a letter. And in the letter, he didn't say, "Please have pity on this wretched slave and take him back to be his slave." Do you remember what he said? He said, "I want you to take that slave back as your brother." That was radical. And I think in a very ironic twist, I call it God's sense of humor, this Pharisaical man, this man who was circumcised, this man who was Jewish in every which way you could think of, was called to be the prophet, was called to be the evangelist to the Gentile world. Because, see, in Christ, you have to change. When you have an encounter with the living God, you have to change. But, you know, most of us don't need to be knocked off our horse. Most of us haven't broken those commandments to such an extent that God has to smack us upside the head with the Bible. The people who are converted that way, that's the stuff of book deals. And we read about these marvelous conversions, but most of us are just not there. And yet we still need an encounter with the living Christ. Some of us are like Peter. You remember Peter, his last act before his friend Jesus died was to deny he ever knew him. Peter, the one who disappointed the people around him so terribly, but he disappointed himself most of all. And maybe there's some of you who are listening to me today that say, I've just messed things up. My relationships are in tatters and it's my fault. And I feel like such a failure. When Jesus encountered Peter the day of his resurrection, he didn't say, I'm here, you bum. He embraced him as his brother. And this is the message of the risen Christ to us, that even when we have destroyed relationships, even when we have completely shattered and failed in our own lives, there is still hope in seeing and encountering the Christ, the resurrected one. If you remember the story of Peter after that meeting with Jesus, he took on the mantle of courage like no other, because he knew the truth that Jesus was with him. And the next time he was encountered and he was threatened with jail and beatings, he said, I'm going to still proclaim this message because the power of Christ was within him. We think of all those other brothers and sisters that Jesus appeared to. And then, of course, Paul, who was untimely born. And Jesus appears to us today in all our forms, in all our weaknesses. I think of the other person Paul recounts that Jesus spoke to, and that was James. Now, do you know James? There were several people in the Bible named James, but this particular James was Jesus' brother. And none of Jesus' siblings believed in him. In fact, they thought that their eldest brother had gone completely off the rails. And so I love to envision James meeting Jesus after the resurrection and what must have been going through James' mind. And after James meets Jesus again and he sees the truth, the Bible says that he became the leader of the early church, and his name was James the Just. Because you see, when we have these encounters, God changes us from the inside out. And it's not just so we feel good about ourselves. It's so then we can impact the world. And that world might be the people living in your home. That world might be the community that surrounds you. That world might be the city in which you live. That world might be overseas. Wherever God sends us is our world. And we are to take this message, this radical message, that God so loved the world. And do you remember what Paul said that is intriguing and commentators have tried to figure it out for millennia? He said, you are being saved. Now we think that once we encounter Jesus, once that's it. But being saved to me means that every single day I can have an encounter with Jesus that will send me on my way, that will give me a purpose in life, that will help me to ease suffering in this world, that will help me to be God's hand extended to the oppressed. The gospel is not just that moment thousands of years ago, but the encounters with Jesus every single day. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful for the promise of new life that confronts us as our feet hit the floors in the morning. And we ask that you would plant within us that grace and that mercy and that peace so that we can affect our world for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, dear friends, new life beckons. Peace holds out its arms. Begin your week knowing that you are walking straight into into the embrace of God, and the peace of God will be with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. All of you, this was just wonderful.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Wow. Yeah. What a day. That's so
beautiful. Allie, Cindy.
Yeah, Cindy.
Wonderful. You're brilliant. Thank you so much.
I think it was the fruits, the resonance on that. Oh my goodness.
The reverberation?
Yes!
It's going. It felt like a cathedral.
That was awesome.
There must have been quite a few comments today.
Quite a few comments on there.
Yeah, there was one person at the end who said, the last service they were here.